Hello to my fellows. I have to, before I talk a little bit, I need to explain a little bit to you. Okay, so this is going to be the Drive to Stay Alive episode 7 or 8, depending on metric to centimeter conversion. The thing is that I'm not currently driving right now, and it's only because not only do I not have a license in this country, but I also, if I did, I would be driving on the wrong side of the road, because in bloody England we drive on the left side. Here in America we drive on the right side, so it's a little different, takes a little getting used to. But other reason why I cannot record an episode of Drive to Stay Alive today is because as of this Monday, I will not be driving to work. I did take the day off because I am in the city of Columbia, which is the capital city of South Carolina. That is where they do all the politics. It's where the governor's mansion is. It's where the Capitol building is. It's where all the representatives meet to discuss the laws and create all the policies that you Americans follow. Basically, what I'm getting at. Normally, when you come on this episode of Drive to Stay Alive, you are used to hearing the voice of a Miss Scott Reck. And he is American, and he is Midwest, and he's a jolly fellow. I mean, he really is. Like, I have nothing but good things to say about him. But thing is, he had a little bit of a stroke, you know, and he can still function like a normal human being. And he remembers all of you, all of his dear friends, his family. But the thing is, when he woke up from his stroke, he no longer spoke as American. He suddenly developed like an English accent. And the problem is, people don't accept it. They're just like, you're fooling me. You're trying to pull the wool over my eyes. Which you think I am just like some kid that really doesn't, you know, is kind of, he falls for, you know, all his follies. It's just like, that's a joke. You're not telling the truth. And I'm like, look, I am telling the truth. Like, I am the same Scott Reck that you knew. It's like, if you like right now, I will retell you a tale of our youth. When me and you hung out together. I mean, like, remember when we were playing baseball on the parking lot of St. Catharines? And we didn't have enough people to play with us. So we used ghost runners. And they'd be like, oh yeah, my friend Danny would be like, I remember those days. Those were some good days. And I'll be like, yeah, I also remember in high school, we were in a comedy sports together. And we used to practice after school. And Mike Bates, you know, he used to say all sorts of dirty things. You know, he had a bit of a potty mouth. And says a lot of bloody things that you could not stay on stage. Because during a comedy sports, it had a bit of a code of conduct where it's like, you know, it's a family show. All ages are welcome. So you really can't say, like, you know, go fuck yourself. And you can't say, like, you know, insertion. Like, you know, put it where the sun doesn't shine. So it's like, I will tell you some tales of what we used to do as kids and all throughout my years. And so people will say, like, well, you know, although I don't recognize your voice, I do not recognize your speech patterns, I do recognize the memories we've shared and all sorts of things we talked about just now. And I'll be like, see, I told you, it is me. I am Scott Reck. I have the brain, I have the body, I have the, unfortunately, I have still the same looks as the Scott Reck that you have grown up and, you know, been with for your entire life. But the only thing that's changed about me is my voice. And my accent is a bit different. It's English, like not the English you used to. You can't speak with a little bit American, yeah? Well, hello there, Gavna. I suppose when I last left you, I was so rudely interrupted by my cohorts. Cohorts, like quartz. Like the diamond, like the gem, like the ruby, like the rock. Cohorts. See, a lot of things are hard to speak with an English accent.
One thing leads to another. Well, we've
got
to have
dinner here. Like I said, it's a little bit difficult for me to speak nowadays because I did have that stroke, as I said. And, you know, it's a little bit hard for me to, you know, be like I used to be. I am almost like a shell of myself, like a hard candy shell on the M&Ms. It melts in your mouth but not in your hands. But, like, I say, main question is, you still love me? Will you still be my friend if I now talk in an accent? Instead of the normal, you know, Midwestern, you know, home fried cooking, like, guy that I used to be. So, it's a crazy thing, really. Really, I don't know what's happening now. All I know is that there's breakfast, and in order to get breakfast, I need to go inside with my mates. And my mates are inside getting a little waffles and some pancakes. It's IHOP. IHOP means like International House of Pancakes. So I say like, okay, I'm from international territories, and I can't want some pancakes. So if I'm British, will you give me some pancakes? And if I order them American style, will you give them to me as well? And I'm not sure if they really know. I will have to ask the waitress. Excuse me, waitress. Do you have American style pancakes? And she says, yes, we do. I said, well, you do have our British style pancakes? And she says, yes, we do. And I said, well, is it okay if I get like pancakes like the ones I'm used to, like back where I was growing up in jolly old London? And she says to me, and she says, oh, you grew up in jolly old London. Where from? And I said, I'm from Wolverhampton in the United Kingdom, you know. But, see, the truth of it is, I'm not really from Wolverhampton. I'm from Milwaukee in Wisconsin. But she doesn't know about my stroke. She doesn't know that I had a condition where all of a sudden I start talking with an accent. And it's a little crazy. I mean, most people cannot, you know, even begin to understand where this comes from. You know, that they think, like, if you're born a certain way, if you're raised a certain way, you will end up talking a certain way. It's just kind of like, over time, some people have, you know, learned to adapt. And they have changed, but still, they have not changed as rapidly as I did. It's not like they slept one night, woke up in one day, speaking a different way. So it's a little crazy, I'm not going to lie. So, for the time being, I'm probably just going to go inside with the rest of my mates, eat little pancakes, maybe some sausage, some gravy, or some syrup. You know, get a little bit of sweets, you know. It's like, at this point, I'm tired, I'm not going to lie. You know, it's like I've had, you know, I've been walking around all day, been drinking, been having a little bit of fun. And I could use a bit of sugar, some caffeine maybe, to kind of keep me awake. Because if there's one thing I've noticed, it's just that at the end of the day, you need to rage. You need to just kind of keep on going. And so I'm going to get a bit of sugar in me, and I'm going to rage with my cohorts. So we'll see you on the flip side. Take care.
Welcome to what I guess I'm going to be calling the second half of, should we say episode 7? Maybe episode 8 of the Drive to Stay Alive? You're going to have to apologize. You're going to have to apologize. Jeez, we always start on a really good note, don't we? You know, come unprepared, you know, with the setup here. But no, I'm going to have to apologize for my kind of like a scatterbrainedness right now. Because I just got back into town. Over the past 4 or 5 days, I was in South Carolina. Charleston, Columbia, and then flew out of Charlotte, North Carolina. But I was down there visiting my brother James and his wife Melissa. And it was a wild weekend, you know. Always is. Every time I go and hang out with them, gets you know, it's one of those things like, all right, one of the unique things, I guess. Maybe not. I'm trying to figure out a way to say it without just, like, you know, talking myself up. Because, like, I don't like to brag. Because, like, I don't really think I have anything really to brag about. You know, it's like, everybody, like, you know, is always so proud of this and that. And, you know, be like, well, you know, I excel at math, you know. And somebody's like, I have good people skills, you know. And some people are just like, yeah, I have 3% body fat, you know. So people always have, like, things that they like to brag about and everything. But me, not so much, you know. I really fail to see a lot of the good in me. A lot of things I'm good at and a lot of things I do well. And in this drive to stay alive, that's why, like, when something comes up where there is something I'd like to, you know, boast about, I guess, I want to take the time out to do it. And that's kind of what this whole thing is about. Is finding a reason to love yourself. Finding a reason to continue, you know, going on to the next day. Finding some good in yourself and finding some good in this world to kind of make it all worthwhile. And so if doing that is boasting, then I don't, you know, I'll just tell you to go to hell. So one thing I found out over the weekend, I actually found out two things over the weekend. And just to continue along this one first, is one thing I found out over the weekend is that I have the ability to always have a good time and always be able to occupy myself and make myself laugh. It's weird because I see a lot of negativity in myself. Like, all the time, I'm just always kind of, like, really down on myself. I don't have very high self-esteem or anything like that. But at the same time, I can always entertain myself. Like, a lot of times, I really don't give a shit about... I don't give a shit about what people think about me. How they react, you know, to anything I do. Like, you know, let's face it, like... If you've ever hung out with me for a bit of time, or if you've ever kind of like even followed me on Twitter or Facebook, not so much Facebook, but Twitter, you would understand that I'm a very unique person and a very kind of difficult person to kind of understand. For lack of a better like term, I guess I'm just fucking nuts, dude. I'm just crazy. And if you want to sum me up with one word, I would say random. Like, I'm definitely random. All the shit, like, I do in my life, and all the shit I come up with, and, like, just kind of how I act, and what I find funny, my sense of humor, and, like, I think everything about me is just random. And the good thing about that is that I am constantly amused. Even the smallest little things can make me laugh. And so I can be stuck in a situation where, dude, most people would be like, dude, this isn't fun. And I would find something fun about it. I will find something that will make me laugh. And I will find a way to be entertained. So that unique ability allows me to make the best of every situation. And that's also one of the reasons why I love every movie. I rarely hate a movie, because I can always find a redeeming factor in something. And so, hanging out, you know, with my brother and family down over the weekend, there's a lot of situations that I was a part of that really isn't my cup of tea. You know, it's just kind of like, by this point in my life, I've already kind of established who I am, where I want to be, what I like to do, and everything like that. And I really don't like to kind of go outside of my comfort zone. While it's good to do that, I know what I like to do, and I know what I find fun and entertaining. Things that I don't like to do, I stay away from, because I'm like, what's the point of like going into a situation you know you're not going to enjoy? Like, that's not fun in life, you know? I try to avoid negative things and unfun things and things I don't like as much as possible, because I already spend 8 hours a day at a job that I don't really care for. So I want to surround every other hour of the day, I want to surround myself with things that I do like to do and things that I know I'm going to have a good time doing. So it's like, I'm not going to get into a situation where I already know it going into it's not going to be a good time. So I avoid that, you know, at all costs, you know. But the thing is, when you're kind of like roped into it because you don't really have a choice, so you just kind of try to make the most of it then. You know, it's like, all right, well, I couldn't do what I wanted to do, but I'll do the next best thing. And that's keep a positive attitude about it and laugh. There's no greater thing you can really do in this world than to laugh. And I'm gonna go into a little departure right now, and I'll pick up later. But all right, so I'm stopped right now, and there's a train. I'm stopped, you know, because the train's passing and everything like that. One thing I've always wanted to do, and I know that they kind of like, what do they say, like, advise against. I've always wanted to stow away on like a boxcar, like, you know, as a bum with like a stick and bindle and stuff. And you're pretty much like not supposed to do it, because they lock the boxcars, you know. Like, if you find, like, the door cracked or something like that, you can get in there, but then they might close you in there. And so a lot of people, like, who do stow away on trains, sometimes get locked inside. And when you're locked inside, you don't have any food, you don't have any water, and you're basically left there to die unless somebody finds you. So it's like, it's not, advisable to go do that. But here's the thing, like, stowing away on railroad cars is like, goes back like so far in time to when the railroads were like first invented in the 1800s or something like that. And you hop the railway cars, and you always see like shit like with bums, you know, they got like, you know, like I said, the stick and bindle, like, you know, the stick with like the handkerchief on it, and they're just like, you know, sitting in the car singing songs, as you know, it's like, well, here's my stop, you know, like, he's like, well, see you later, boys. You just run into interesting people, you know, hopping trains. And I've always wanted to do it. I don't think I ever will, just because like it's a weird thing to do, just to go hop a train and just go take it somewhere. Like, I just don't think I have the balls to do anything like that anymore, like anything like just really weird and just kind of frowned upon, I guess. Same reason why, like, there's another thing I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to like take a boat like down the Mississippi River, like a raft or something like that, like Huckleberry Finn. Didn't like Huckleberry Finn and N-Word Jim, didn't they like take a raft on the Mississippi River and just kind of get all the way down to Nolens, you know, because the Mississippi flows south, right? Huck Finn like started in Missouri or so. I thought they took the, yeah, shows how much I read. I'm always like surprised by my stupidity in these episodes. I'll just like, I know I've read Huckleberry Finn. I've probably seen a movie based upon it, but I really couldn't tell you much about it. I mean, it's just like, I'm smart in some ways, but really stupid in a lot of. And in all these podcasts, I always just kind of come off as an idiot because I don't remember things. So, but Huckleberry Finn, and I thought in like N-word Jim, used to, you know, take like a raft down the river, and you kind of just bring enough supplies. You grab like the clothes on your back, maybe a change of clothes, but you just kind of have enough supplies to really kind of make it. And it's the whole thing, and it ties in with the like hopping boxcar trains, because you really just kind of like wing it. Like, you're kind of always on the run, you know, away from the law. You're kind of doing something illegal both ways. I don't think you're supposed to raft, you know, down the river. And it's, you know, like I said, it's frowned upon too, not only by society, but also by like your friends and family and everything like that, who say don't do it. That's, you know, a terrible thing to do. And so it's just kind of living with nothing but the clothes on your back and really just kind of making up as you go along, scrounging for your survival and everything like that. And it's just kind of living an adventure with really no planning and just kind of no way out. Like, you know, there's a sense of danger at every turn, at every, like, you know, railroad crossing, or at every like bend in the river. There's like a sense of danger where shit could go wrong and everything like that. And it does sound like a very intriguing thing to do for somebody who, like me, does the same 9-to-5 and just kind of plays everything safe and everything, just to go out and take this kind of a crazy adventure that people don't do anymore. And, like, you know, the third thing I've always wanted to do is like kind of sit on an inner tube and float down a river and just see where you go. You know, that's probably a lot more dangerous than the other two, just because there's a better possibility of drowning, I guess, or getting, you know, bodily harm. Actually, they're all probably about equal amounts as dangerous, you know? So, I probably will never do them. Whoa. Especially now that I'm like 30s, in my 30s. When I was like younger and stupid, I probably, you know, if I didn't do it then when I was young, dumb, and, you know, young and dumb, I'm probably not going to do them now. You know, so, for real, it's going to go down as one of those, you know, regrets. I'm sad I never rafted down the Mississippi River, you know. But it's hard to do. It's really hard to do. So, that was, I mean, it was a little departure, but it just kind of, like, ties in really to my life and how I kind of play it safe and just kind of... But at the same time, while playing it safe, I still do find enjoyment and entertainment in life. That was one of the things about this weekend, how, you know, I just really goofed around and had a good time with it and everything. But it does kind of... Another thing kind of came up. And that is how important my family is to me. And I was kind of thinking on the plane when I was flying home tonight about how I really got to get my acting gear and start a family of my own. Because I think I need a family. Like, I just really do. Like, because it is so important to me. And as time goes on, I mean, you already know one of my brothers is gone permanently from this world, and my other brother, like, lives halfway across the country. You know, all I got here is, like, you know, obviously the cousins and aunts and uncles and everything, but as far as, like, my immediate family, my mom, my dad, and my sister. You know, and it's kind of like, who knows what might happen as far as, you know, them moving somewhere else, or, you know, heaven forbid, you know, the other thing. But I mean, if I start my own family, that only increases like the amount of family I have to hang out with, like, you know, with every wife with every child. And then, you know, it's like if my wife has, you know, sisters or brothers and they have children and everything, like, you just increase the possibility of, you know, more people that you could connect with and hang out with and everything like that. And since I put such a high price on family, I should have no problem, like, you know, getting adjusted to all that and everything. And so, you know, I really would like to get that shit going, you know. I think I've changed so much in the last couple of years from after I left college. And especially over the last 2 years, as I've moved away from, like, the college, like, neighborhood and the atmosphere and everything like that, I've really changed about what I find important in life and who I find important in life. And, you know, for me, it's not about my friends anymore. It's about my family. So, and I realized that more than ever this weekend about being close to one member of the family, but also being so far away from everybody else. Just kind of realizing that you can't have everything the way that you want it. And things really can't be perfect. You know, because if everything was perfect, everybody would live here, and I'd be able to hang out with all of them at the same time and see them whenever I wanted to and stuff like that, instead of, you know, having to make special arrangements to and spend a bunch of money to fly somewhere. I don't blame anybody for trying to get out of Wisconsin. And it's funny to say that right now, because here in Wisconsin, it's 60 degrees out at 10 o'clock at night. And also it's December 3rd. So it's just absolutely gorgeous right now. And if it was like this year round, at like in December, you know, obviously in the summer, like, it'd be nicer, but in December, if it was like this, why wouldn't you want that? That's amazing. You know, like, when I was down in Charleston and, like, Columbia, 70 degrees out in late November, December. How is that not, like, just perfect? So by that aspect, I totally understand. But, like, lifestyles are different, obviously. Anywhere you go in the country, you're going to encounter that. People have different lives. There's a different... The South is just different. It's different, not in a bad way, but not what I'm used to. Just everything as far as just stores, the people, things that you do, attitudes, like... like I said, I'm not going to say it's bad, because it's not. It's just not what I'm used to. And it kind of makes me think, like, I really do like where I live, and I like everything about this place. But is it because it's all I have ever known? Is that it's just a comfort zone? Or is it really just better here? Never gonna know, as I don't see myself moving. Honestly, like, I realized this weekend who the most important person in my life is. And that's my sister, Jenny. Just talking to her on the phone, texting with her, just realize how similar we are, how close we were growing up, and especially how close we've become over the last 2 years, or year and a half, you know, since Timmy. And it really kind of... Being away this weekend really kind of put a whole new perspective on, like, I can enjoy everything in life as long as I have Jenny around. Like, I couldn't even imagine having to not be around her and be, like, near her and be able to, like, goof off and talk to her. It's just, like, my sister is, like, my whole life, you know? And it's like, in many ways, it's like she's all I got. She's all I got left. You know? It's like at the end of the day, you know, you don't have, you know, so many things you don't have. But, like, my sister is what I do have at all times. So it's, like, it's hard. It was really hard to be away from that. And it's stupid because it's, like, I feel stupid saying that because it's, like, I was only gone, like, 4-5 days. And that's, you know, like, Thursday, yeah, through Monday. But sometimes... sometimes all it takes is, you know, to live without something, to have the absence of it, to realize how important it is to you. So, it's one thing I figured out, you know. So it kind of looks like we're doing some good here. You know, like when I first started this podcast, you know, I was thinking about how... it's like, how am I supposed to find some good in life? How am I supposed to find, you know, the drive to stay alive? And bit by bit, one way or another, bit by bit, one day you'll discover tonight. Have you heard the news? Breaking down the headlines. Fletch is working overtime. That's not actually what I wanted to say. But when I said bit by bit, I had to go into Fletch is working overtime. But no, bit by bit, week by week, we're starting to figure out... actually, well, I shouldn't say we. I mean, you are kind of coming along, you know, during this drive to stay alive. But, you know, week by week, with every recording and just talking this shit out, I am figuring out what I value in life. I am figuring out, you know, where I want to be, what I want to do with my life. And it's just kind of like discovering things... just by sitting down and talking them out. That's all it's been. That's all it's been. I haven't had any suggestions from other people. I haven't had, like, a therapist or, like, you know, or I haven't read any books about how to cope with something, survive with something. Like, you know, I'm doing this all on my own. All just by talking out loud and making this up as I go along. And so far, I think it's done wonders. Granted, we haven't really... we... I don't know why I'm saying we. Granted, I haven't... I haven't taken any steps in the positive direction as to fixing all these things that are wrong with my life and working towards them. I haven't, you know, done that. But I have identified the problems. I have identified possible solutions. I have figured out kind of what I would like to do. Like, so... I am figuring out what I want. I'm laying out the groundwork. I'm laying out the path, you know, that I'm supposed to go on and all that kind of stuff. So we're entering a very, like, crucial phase right now where we put those plans into action. And that's one thing that hopefully by the time I talk to you next time, we'll have some kind of action. You know, we'll have some, like, good news to report on in that front, because that is the logical next step. So that about ends this episode of The Drive to Stay Alive. Back home in Milwaukee, this is where my heart is. This is where the people I love the most are, with the exception of my brother and his wife. Like I said, everybody's here. And as long, I mean, it feels great to be back home, really. I love to go out and visit the world and, you know, figure out just what the hell is going on everywhere else, but, dude, it is so good to be home. So, we're gonna end it right here. And, man, all I gotta say is, that's life, man. Go out and live it. Go out and have a great time and everything like that. And, you know, go travel, come back home, hang out with friends, hang out with family. But no matter what you do in your life, just make sure that you live it, enjoy it. Spend every day just doing what you love. You know, there's so much good in life. So many wonderful moments, so many wonderful memories, and so many things to do. And just, you know, if I could just leave you with one words of wisdom, It's just enjoy it, you know, and laugh. Always try to make the best of a situation. Smile, enjoy it, and laugh. You'll find yourself so much better off. So I'm going to leave you with that. I'll see you next week on The Drive to Stay Alive. Hopefully I got some better news for you. So take care for tonight. Later.